morning, Houston. This is Amplified Houston on 90.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey. I also serve as the CEO of the Women's Home, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Anna Rieger, founder of FlipLock. But first, Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. And now it's time for our show. Anna, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Anna.
It's, as we were talking about before, it's really unusual to meet another Anna. There's lots of Anns around, but not that many Annas. So this is a good, fun way to start the day. All right, let's get started. Anna, you are the founder of FlipLock. Can you tell our audience what is FlipLock and what gave you the idea to start it?
So FlipLock is a safety device that you can use during a lockdown situation. I created it originally with our kids in mind because I thought that every kid should have a way to protect themselves during a lockdown situation. And what really prompted it was when I realized that out of all my six kids, I never thought about what are they supposed to do during a lockdown situation until I got an alert on my phone one day, and my youngest was in elementary. And that day I asked her, you know, what do you do? And she said, run in the classroom with the teacher, get against the wall with her friends. Teacher turns off the light. Teacher locks the door. That's great. Can you lock the door? No. How do you know if the door is locked? And she said, I don't. And I said, well, what do you do if your teacher's not with you? And she said, she did not know. And that's when I really started doing research and just wondering, like, what can our kids do? She was little. There was no way she would be able to stack desk against the door, even think that far out. And so that's really what prompted me to create FlipLock, was to create a way for everybody in the classroom to be able to go into action, not just be on the teachers only, you know, because a lot of teachers may freeze.
Yeah. Anna, that's... you know, that is such a difficult conversation to have with a kid. I mean, when I was growing up, we had drills and we had to get under our desks in case there was a nuclear bomb or whatever. But we did not have active shooter drills. And I just, it's been really hard to make that adjustment to this new world that we're in, where kids have to have active shooter drills. Tell me a little bit more about how that felt for you to have your child come home and had you know, an incident where thank God she wasn't in danger, but it could have been. I mean, talk about that experience a little bit.
Right. It was a lockdown situation. I didn't know where it was in our area. They didn't say, you know, but just to think about, you know, she was in elementary, you know, I didn't worry about these, like you said, these kind of things when we were a kid. And then talking to her and seeing that she was scared, and then her telling me some of the kids were hiding under a desk, some of them wouldn't move, some of them were just crying, you know, that really, really shook me to my core, because, you know, we send our kids to have fun, to have the growth experience, the life experiences, to get an education. We don't really want them to go there and think about something so nefarious, but that's just the world we're living in, you know?
Yeah. And so it sparked in you, I mean, I would imagine, your mama bear instinct. and I have that instinct very strongly myself. But it sparked in you this mama bear instinct where, You said, well, if this is the reality of what we're dealing with, let me see what I can do to make it just a little bit safer, give more options, right, for making it safer. So you started this process of trying to figure it out. Tell us about that journey.
So yeah, I started doing research because I thought surely somebody has a solution that's viable that everybody in the classroom can use. And there were things out there, but I thought it needed to be simpler and it needed to be easier and it needed to be where our kids knew and they didn't need to look for something. They didn't need to go anywhere, be sitting there, because it also would give them that peace of mind knowing that they have the power to do something. And so that's when I started, you know, it needs to be on the door. It needs to be ready. It doesn't need an extra thing to do. You just, you know, with Flip Lock, you just flip it, it drops, it locks, and you run away from the door. You don't need to be messing around with the door. That's my whole thing, get them away. But then when it locked, as a mom, like you said, you think about everything. And so when I was doing my research, I saw that some of the kids were recording the person on the other side of the door during these situations on the internet. I was watching this and I thought, you got to remind them, call 911, whatever that looks like, if they have a panic button. But it would remind them to go into another step rather than taking out their phone and recording the person, which could also put them in harm's way, right? So everything
Right, right.
very, very intentional, everything I did with the lock itself.
So when you flip the lock, it actually says call 911.
It says call when you flip
Wow.
it, it drops, it locks, and it says call 911 on it. And it also says locked really big because I thought if my kid ever calls me and says, Mommy, I'm in lockdown, the first thing I'm gonna ask is the door locked? The last thing I want to hear is, I don't know. That's an unacceptable answer for me. So that's why I created it where it says locked. They know it's locked from anywhere in the classroom. And that was super important to me as a mom and, you know, for my daughter to have that ability to be able to do that.
Right. Well, so Anna, I mean, it's not so what the steps that you took were really exceptional. I can't imagine that I would have started a whole new company when my kids came home and said something like that to me. So tell us a little bit about your history and your background. Like, where do you come from? What experiences led you to be the leader that you are today?
Well, I came from a you know, very humble beginnings. My father was blind. I grew up on the north side of Houston, and if anybody knows, that's, you know, not the best side of town to live on. But in that, you know, I had a strong sense of value and family values, you know, and I went through a lot of hardships as a child, but that also taught me about perseverance and to never give up and to fight for what I believe in. And that, I think, gives me the resilience and just the grit to go out there and go against people that are saying, no, you shouldn't put that in a school. No, you should, you know, and say, you know, I'm going to continue to do this because I believe that one day somebody's kid will get to go home simply because we gave them an easy way to lock the door. And that's really,
Wow.
it's really about that for me. It's very simple. It's a long journey. It was really hard. I talked to my husband. He's an inventor creator. And he always has ideas every day. And I said, you know, we need to do something. We had talked about it, talked about it, talked about it. And then one day he said, I got it. And we went and we sat and he drew it on this napkin. And I go, I have no idea what I'm looking at. And so, because I'm a visual person. And I said, you know, call the office and have them put it on a 3D printer. And when we get back to Houston, because we were in San Antonio, we're in real estate. And so we were looking at some investment stuff. And I said, have it on a 3D printer. When we get back to Houston, I can see what you're talking about. And that's where it started. And then I was like, it needs to be red. It needs to be bigger. It needs all the way to things we needed to do to, you know, get it compliant to go into schools. It was a lot of
Wow.
things.
So that sounds like it was several years of research and development just even creating this product.
Right. A lot of, and you know, you know, when you go into business, nobody says, hey, you know, if you know, try this idea and it doesn't work, then you know, they don't give you reimbursement. You just have to go all in and really believe in what you're doing. And because I believed we could save lives, I went in and went all in on it.
That's amazing. So tell us where the business is today. How big is it? How many locks have you sold? Tell us more.
So I've sold hundreds of thousands of lots. I was just also
Wow.
asking for it. We have the home version and the school version, which, you know, the company is really, we just sell on our own website and Amazon for the home side. School side is direct to the schools. And we've now are in hospitals. We're in embassies in DC, which I had no idea we would go into.
Wow.
People have contacted us that I had no idea would want it. You know, we're in the controller's office here in Houston. We're in all over the place. And I really started this for schools. But then when my kids started going, you know, they're older and they moved into apartments, like, oh my gosh, somebody has a key to our daughter's apartment. We need to have a secondary lock in the bedroom, you know, so she's asleep. She doesn't wake up with somebody, you know, they can come in at any time. So it became this whole mission overall, like you said, mama bear, keep my baby safe, right? Wherever they
yeah.
are. Our son's in a dorm, you know, in an apartment with other three roommates. Well, I don't know their friends or their roommates. They have one in their, you know, apartment room. It's just, how can we keep them safe, not with them? And that's really what this is about for me, making people safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so were there obstacles that you faced along the way? You know, like with regulatory bodies and that kind of thing. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, when I had my great lock, I realized right away going into schools, you have to have an unlocking mechanism. So that became my first obstacle. And we had to create that. And then when I went to other states, and when I came into Texas, I didn't go into Texas because they said you had to meet egress laws. So I talked to our fire marshal here, and I worked directly with them. And I said, how can we work together? You want to make things safe. I want to make things safe. And she said, if you can make it meet code, one motion egress, I will help you. I will write a letter saying it meets code. And she said, I can't endorse you, but I can say it meets code. So, oh my gosh, we worked a year with the fire marshal's office. And I said, because I don't want to invest and make it if you don't say, you know, my prototype doesn't work. I got to make sure I get approval. So long story short, we got letters from Harris County. We got letters from Fort Bend. We got letters from Waller, all the fire departments. And we're already in states like Illinois, Massachusetts. Kansas has approved our fire. I go to the fire people now. So that's the biggest obstacle, is making sure business and building and regulatory codes. How can I turn that no into a yes? And I think any woman, any person going into business, don't take that no and go crumble. Take that no if you believe in what you're doing and turn it into a yes. And that's what I believe.
Oh, wow. That's very, thank you for saying that. I think that's so true. Take that no and turn it into a yes. Just keep trying. You can do this, right? Okay. We're going to go to commercial break, but when we come back, I'd love to hear about some of the conversations that you've had to navigate, especially here in Texas, around the flip lock and school safety and that kind of thing. But let's take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the persons who work on the show or to bring you the shows are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option 1 to become a sustaining member today. We are back. This is Anna Coffey on Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition. I am interviewing Anna Rieger, who is the founder of FlipLock. Anna, you know, you are working at the intersection of school safety and entrepreneurship. You also, by virtue of the fact that you talk about school safety, you are putting yourself in the middle of the discussion about Second Amendment rights, gun safety, gun laws. And, you know, there's strong feelings on both sides of that issue. Tell me a little bit about how you've had to navigate those conversations.
Well, you know, the truth is, you know, the laws are the laws. That's not my deal to try to change it. But what I can say is, hey, do you have kids on this side of the argument? And do you have kids on this side of the argument? We both may have two different opposing viewpoints, but can't we meet in the middle and decide, like, hey, our kids deserve to be safe. Our children deserve the best teachers. Teachers are quitting at an alarming rate because of this very reason. They're scared. They don't want to be the only person that can lock the classroom down. And so I think that in that conversation, you can bring two polar opposite sides together to say, hey, this makes sense. We can meet in the middle and we can make this work for both sides of the line without stepping on anybody's toes.
Yeah. And you've had great success doing that, haven't you?
Yes. Absolutely. Because, you know, who doesn't want their children to be safe? I mean, And it's not like it doesn't hit home. I mean, this has happened close to us everywhere, you know, and nobody, I always say nobody is exempt. Never think you're exempt. You never think you're exempt because that's when you let your guard down. And then it's, you know, I like to be proactive rather than reactive. And that's why I'm out trying to educate schools and people about what we do and why we do what we do so that we can continue to save lives and keep people safe.
Yeah, it seems like in this very divided world, if we can't come together and agree on child safety, I just there wouldn't be any hope for us. So I'm glad that you've had great success working on in this very, very fraught environment, finding common ground. I think that's a really important message for all of us. Like, just cut through all of the nonsense, find the thing that you can agree on, and use that as your starting place.
Exactly right.
So Anna, you know, how do you think you're going to be expanding your business into the future?
Yes, actually, right now we're remarketing and repackaging our home version of the product, and we'll be going into distributors and retailers soon.
Okay, awesome. So, and you said already that your product can be found on multiple retailers, and there's a home version of it.
Right on Amazon, and then you can buy directly on our website from us as well.
Okay, great. Did you really expect when you started this business that it would have such a wide application? Like, you know, now you're in so many different places. What was your first reaction when people outside of school systems started buying your product?
I was really, you know, honored, but at the same time, I was like, wow, you're a high security, I think, place. Why would you need, you know, like an embassy? Why would you need my, you know, flip lock? But then it became, Anna, when all your fine motor skills leave your body, we need to be able to lock it first. And then they can go into all the extra deadbolt, whatever things they have. But when your body's not working, we need to make sure that door gets locked and secured. And they thought it was a, so that just reconfirmed what I was doing, even though I had some hardships along the way. To just not give up and continue to persevere because now I'm in a lot more places than I ever thought I would be.
Yeah, it's amazing. So during your career, Anna, you said that you're a very creative person. You and your husband are very entrepreneurial, and has there been a mentor or role model for you along in your career?
Yes, I had two. My husband's always been my mentor, role model, but I have a coach, Gigi Sage, and she's been amazing for me. She connects women and like-minded women. I'm part of an entrepreneur women's group. We travel once a year. We connect. I did my very first pitch in Greece at a women's retreat in a room with, and I didn't, with my 3D plastic model. So it was, and then it was a place of support and women, you know, supporting me and giving me the feedback that wasn't always so nice, but it was in a constructive way. So yeah, having that tank and that coach that inspired me to get in front. She's like, Anna, you, if you want to save lives, you got to get out and up front. And I was really shy. I didn't want to get on TV and do all the talks, but she said, if you want to save lives, that camera is what's going to help you do it. And so it really pushed me. And she goes, and you know what? You might mess up, but you won't make the same mistake twice. So, hey, you're never going to be perfect when you go to start a business, but you have to start. Just start and you'll figure it out along the way and you won't make the same mistake twice. I want to definitely say that because that is something that I think is so powerful when you're going in. I need to have all the details and I need to know how I need to. You're just buying time, wasting time, rocking in your chair. Get up and go, you know? Take it.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. Just get up and go. Just start it. Just do it. But that is the hardest part for a lot of us, you know, of like starting something new is just actually taking that first step.
Takes a lot of courage because when you put yourself out there, of course you're going to get people that just don't read the chats, don't get involved. Whoever's not meant to be there won't be there. Whoever's not supporting you, don't, they're not your people and you can't please everybody, but you can definitely stay true to who you are and continue on whatever that is. It could be art, it could be anything, but don't ever let anybody take your power. Stand true in your power and you will be successful.
Well, this question was going to be, what advice do you give to other women who are stepping into leadership roles? So I would imagine that's a big one, like stand in your power. What
Yes.
else do you tell them?
I think we, you know, I would just say, you know, keep believing in what you're doing, believe in what you do, continue what you're doing, and don't give up. You know, it's not going to be easy all the time, and you're not going to have all the answers every time, but continue to do it. And the main thing I would say is find a mentor. Find somebody that's doing something that you are, that person you like, for whatever reason you're attracted to that person, try to connect with them and go have coffee. And a lot of times people will mentor you or give you advice just as a friend. I mean, I'm open to supporting other women anytime they need advice. I would love for people to ask, you know, but people have to ask, and that's also scary.
Well, and also I think that is a core theme that runs through many of the interviews that we do, is that finding that community, finding those people along the way who are there to help you and support you. And that is just so critically important, whether you're dealing with a recurring substance use disorder, you're starting a business, or you are working on a massive piece of art. Like, there are people along the way, and there are communities that can rally around you and help you get there, right?
Exactly right. And you'll find those people, but you just have to have the courage to ask. The worst they can
And
say is
so
no.
as you look back over your life and all of the incredible accomplishments that you have, if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what would you say to younger Anna?
I'd say, you know, things are only going to get better. I mean, I started from, you know, really nothing. At that time, if you would have told me I was going to be who I am today, sitting here talking to you, I would never have believed it. But to just continue to follow your heart and stay true to who you are. Don't, you know, follow crowds and don't do those things. Really just stay true to who you are, and you will find your way and your path. And I believe that very wholeheartedly.
So what do you do, Anna, when you find yourself exhausted at the end of a long day and your tank is running low? Tell us the what you do to kind of tap up, fill your vase with water, or do whatever metaphor you want to use. What do you do to really take care of yourself and replenish your energy?
So I like to work out, but the truth is, really simple thing. I go outside in the backyard, I take off my shoes, and I just walk in the grass. And I have a mini garden in my backyard, and I like to look at my little plants and, you know, think about what I'm going to plant next, because I just love seeing something grow from nothing. And that's just really brings me so much joy.
Oh, it's a very cool metaphor, seeing something grow from nothing. And when life gets tough and you are looking for a way to bring yourself just that little bit of joy, I mean, you talked about going into your garden, but is there something else that you do or something else that you have access to that brings you just little sparks of joy every day?
Every day, I think just being with my family, you know, being with my husband, we try to have dinner or lunch together almost every day. And that really brings me joy. Just having that grounding presence of a person there with me is really what brings me joy every day.
Beautiful. Any words? Where can people find your product? Tell us again the name, spell it out for us.
I'm sorry, you said, where can they?
Can you tell us one more time where people can find your product?
Okay. Fliplock.com, FLIPLOK.com, or Amazon.com, and you just look up Fliplock and we'll pop up and we'll be happy to get you a lock.
That's great.
We also have Instagram and social media and all that as well. Fliplock Official.
Well, you want to give us your Instagram handle?
Yeah, it's Fliplock Official, and all of them are Fliplock Official. And then I have my own Anna Rieger Official, where I have a petition for people to sign to help me support standardization of active threat drills across the United States.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was a topic we didn't even get to, the standardization of the Okay, well, we're gonna have to have you back again to talk about that at some point in the future. But for now, thank you so much, Anna, for coming on and telling us all about your journey and the product that it produced, and your quest to make the world just a little bit safer for kids. I mean, what a noble cause.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today. Amplified Houston is supported in part by the Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. Proceeds from the Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/thecottageshop. I want to thank KPFT and all of their wonderful volunteers for helping us put on this show today. And be sure to stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute? When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Jeff Balfour. I have a show called The Other Side of Life. It's a show basically dedicated to the study of near-death experiences. I hope to bring NDE stories, a little NDE research, people's calls and questions, deathbed visions, and visitations from the other side. Join me on Tuesday mornings at 9 o'clock on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston for a show, The Other Side of Life.
Hi, I'm Al Staheli, and you're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1.
As we grow increasingly aware of how we, as humans, impact the world, efforts to reduce waste and create less harmful ways of existing are appearing daily. From decades-old recycling measures to new initiatives that encourage composting and more efficient electrical consumption, the green revolution is upon us. But meeting these challenges requires time, energy, and personnel. In fact, new green jobs are growing at a rapid pace. In the U.S., 875,000 people already work in so-called green jobs. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, these jobs are expected to grow over 8% in the